Before we could start with the work of the day, Parliament this afternoon, as we speak now, is observing a moment of silence and is paying tribute to two members of the National Assembly who passed away last week. And one of the members that the Parliament is paying tribute to, it's a member of this committee, Comrade Cass Saluji. Comrade Cass Saluji has been a member of this committee for the past 10 years. In the first 5 years, he served in the Social Development, as the chair of the Social Development. I would like us also, now that we are not in the house, to pay tribute or to accompany people that are paying tribute to these heroes of our people, that we must just rise and and then observe a moment of silence, and then we can start with our business for the day, please. May their soul rest in peace. Thank you. Honourable members, thank you. I want to welcome the DG for Sports and Recreation. We're having a new DG from the showroom, but not from the BMW showroom, but from the Mercedes-Benz showroom. It's Veli Petersen. He's the DG of the Sports and Recreation. We have lost our DG to Correctional Services. So the gentleman, the tall gentleman, whose head is nice and clean shaved, is the DG for Sports and Recreation. Welcome, DG. We want you to be part of this family. But it's a running family. It's a little bit rough when we're taking some ways. But you'll get used to the drivers. They are almost driving a little bit faster, but you'll be used to it. But welcome to Sports and Recreation. They call it the House of Pain. I don't know why they call it a House of Pain. But again, there is a Comrade Temba Wakashi. Where is he? That's Fisher Kavan. Tell us Fisher much. Okay. Temba Wakashi is the DG for Arts and Culture, which is the brother committee or the sister committee to Sports and Recreation. In provinces is one committee. In the National Assembly is two committees. The other one is belonging to Comrade Palo Jordan, the other one to Reverend Stofili. Welcome, DG, also. Members are having members of the Bundestag delegation from Germany who will be coming here. But because we're already having a program that ourselves and Denny had suspended last time. We will be finishing up that work, and then as and when they walk in, then we'll quickly switch to the business of the day. What has made the German people to be here is when the first round, when Denny, for the first time I could see him crying in Zurich, it's when Dempsey cost us a vote, and then he lost that vote. And the second round, I could see him again crying, but it was tears of joy with Nelson Mandela. It's when we were awarded the honor to host the FIFA Soccer World Cup 2010. We didn't know anything as a country about the hosting such a big occasion. We know how to host the World Cup for cricket and the World Cup for rugby. But this is the largest, not the biggest, the largest occasion that the country has been bestowed by the international community. Now, we went throughout the world, in Korea, South Korea, in France, in Germany, in Brazil, but Brazil has not hosted the World Cup. We went to Germany, to Brazil, to go and see their development program around producing the best legend and the best soccer players in the world. So those countries are on their way to South Africa. The first country that we have hosted today is Germany. We went to Germany, Danny, but the media in Germany, when there was 3 weeks left, when I arrived at the station with Haji in Germany, the station was not finished. They were working very hard in completing the new station. And they were working very hard, again, in finalizing some of the venues in Germany. But there was no earthquake about that. So Germany gave us everything around the hosting of the World Cup. And they even were upbeat to say, South Africa, if you need our help, we are a phone call away from you. You must be able to call on us so that we must assist you as South African, so that you must produce and host one of the best world class World Cup ever in the African continent and in the world. So those ladies and gentlemen from the Bundestag are here to come and hear from us. How far are we? What are the issues there? Is it true what the media is reporting, that South Africa will not be able to meet the deadlines? We are still struggling. But one important thing that the German raised to us, and the French people, they said that, Chairperson, but all these things are coming from your country. It is not us in France who write about these things. We get them from your country. So you can't accuse our journalists by writing these kind of things. Where do they get them? Because they are not in South Africa. They are corresponding with our sister media in South Africa. Is them who are saying South Africa will not be able to host the World Cup, and therefore let us have the plan B. I think Danny was in pain and ourselves subjected to the plan B, which the newspapers and everybody has put forward. And then it was never created by the LOC, it was never created by the government of the Republic of South Africa. But whoever has created that South Africa is not able to host the World Cup, and therefore there should be a plan B, because we have a rampant crime in this country that stops everything to go on. So they are here to come and see this rampant crime in South Africa. They are here to see whether what is this that is making us not to be able to host the World Cup as bestowed by the world to us. So they will be coming and meet us now. But with you, Danny, today was the issue that we suspended last time, around the clarity on the fan parks and the public viewing areas. We have made a commitment to our people in South Africa. You were part of that commitment in saying, this World Cup, apart from an everlasting infrastructure that is going to create in this country, that would have never been there in the near future. It was going to be there in the long run, in the long term, but it has been brought forward now. It is here for our people. And the tourism, I'm sure Comrade Wakashi is going to work day in and day out, because you are going to be flooded with tourists that are coming to South Africa after the World Cup and towards the Confederation and the World Cup. I'm sure, I'm not in your committee there, but I'm sure Arts and Culture is trying to find out what is this that you give to the international community to know South Africa and to know Africa is made out of. Then, Danny, the question of the fan parks and the public viewing areas. The undertaking is that our people will be able to have at least some of the things that they will be doing in the fan parks in a particular way which is accredited by the powers that might be. And also in the public viewing areas. And so you're going to finally put us in that perspective so that we're going out here and our people will be watching here and saying, there's something that Makosi is not here. She's coming now. Makosi call it Omam Keys, Danny. Omam Keys are those people that you see when we are at the soccer stadium. There's something that we call in Afrikaans, Pap and Vors. In our own language, Sibizi Chisanyama. Whether those people are going to be there to be able to give us those things when we are at the stadium, and then are they going to be there to give some of the things that this country is known of. So that kind of a dispensation is the one that we're doing. And when the German people arrive here, there are issues of protocol. I was asking Haji Denny that how many meetings did he ever have with the LOC and all that, because when we were in Germany and when the president went with us in Germany to go and receive the torch, I was amazed with the sophistication and the understanding of the protocol by our foreign affairs. And I know Denny might have one or two people that are dealing with issues of protocol. And the Department of Foreign Affairs is a resource to begin to expand that area of the protocol. And I'm sure the Office of the Minister is able to assist so that all host cities have a uniform and one standard. We said we need a standard of protocol. You must not go to Free State to find members of parliament or the dignitaries are handled in a different way than in Cape Town and Johannesburg and all that. We want the standards around protocol should be the same. That need to be discussed and then you'll doubt it. But we just want to understand to the extent in which this protocol is prepared for the visitors. Because we're left now with 4 months to the first shot of the Confederation. If we're not ready, if you can't start it right, you'll never end it right. So, Denny, this one, that is coming in June, we have to start it right. So that at least we think we're fine. So I'm sure you have a little bit of nerves. I'm nervous a little bit, but I think I'll be fine in the long run. So we'll be giving over to Denny. The last point, Denny, that I want to raise, I will raise when the people, the German people are here. In fact, it's around some of the stadiums that are ready in the country, that we at any time, even today, we can just walk there and play because they are ready. But we'll talk about that when the German people arrive here. I will quickly switch over to you, Denny, around the issue of the fan parks and the public viewing areas. Thank you very much.
So would you want me to start with the fan parks first and do the overview when the Germans arrive? Okay, thanks.
Because if you do the overview when the Germans are here, that is exactly what they are interested in, to get a broader view of our readiness for both the World Cup and the Confederation.
Thank you. Thank you. I think, some of the things that you were talking about, are we ready, do we have the experience, and so on. Experience means that you actually were engaged in a particular process or a particular event. Now, let's look at event experience. Compared to any of the countries that you've mentioned, South Africa hosted the Rugby World Cup, the Cricket World Cup, the 2020 World Cup, the All Africa Games, the Athletics World Cup. We are now going to host the Football World Cup. We made a bid for the Olympics. We hosted the All Africa Games. Now let us start with all of these countries. Let's start with Germany. Hosted the World Cup in 1994 and 2006. Fill in the rest. Let's go to Belgium. Let's go to Holland. Let's go to Italy. Let's go to France. Let's go to Switzerland. Let's go to Austria. Name these events that these countries host. You see, you cannot, because you are born in a particular country, claim that you have experience. If a particular country produces the best pilot in the world, it doesn't mean that everyone born in that country can claim to be the best pilot in the world. You have to talk about actual experience in hosting the World Cup. This country is probably in a place, Australia, can talk about hosting major events. South Africa certainly in the world. And it is for that reason that this is my fifth World Cup. I worked in Korea, Japan. I worked in France. I helped the Germans. I worked there. Worked in the United States. And many of people from this continent. So there is a misconception that you are born in a particular place and therefore if somebody else is born in a different place, therefore we have more experience than the person born in another place. It just doesn't work like that. Chris Barnard was born in this place and made the first heart transplant in the world. So I think there is, Chair, that misconception of where we are born determines our level of experience. And so we can go on. Nelson Mandela was born in Kuno. Now simply if you're born there, one would say, but he can never be one of the best presidents ever in the world. And that is the first, the premise is false, is wrong and incorrect. If you want to make a comparison, you actually have to look at the reality and the facts. And the reality and the facts demonstrate that this country more than one occasion has proven its ability to deliver some of the best events in the world. And you see, a major event is, and whether you fill the stadium when England plays Brazil, or you fill it when the Springboks play the All Blacks, or you fill it when Blue Bulls play Sharks, or when Orlando Pirates play Chiefs. From an event perspective, the demands are the same. You deal with the demands of securing the transport, the safety, the ticketing, and all the arrangements of that 70,000 people, regardless of whether they watch cricket or rugby or soccer, the demands are the same. Now, for some reason, we must be told that Australia can host the World Cup. I tell you now, they cannot. It's impossible. Give me the 10 stadiums in Australia. Name them. Name them. Where are they? Name any other country. And that's why I said, you hear from Austria and Switzerland. Name those 10 cities that can host the world. It can't. And that's why I'm saying that the Euro final was co-hosted by Austria and by Switzerland. Why? Because each one of the two independent countries simply does not have the ability to host the Euro final on its own. And that's why you have the Ukraine in Poland, and that's why you have Netherlands and Belgium for the 2000 Euro final and so on. And significantly, for the 2018 bidding World Cup, for the World Cup, Spain and Portugal is making a joint bid. Netherlands and Belgium is making a joint bid. And South Africa has made a single bid. So I think that we must stop talking about the airy-fairy stuff and just look at the reality. We are going to deliver this event in about some of the best stadiums in the world. And I will show you some of the stadiums. Now, you had this argument that no, the stadiums will not be finished and so on. But yes, the DTI sitting behind me, they can tell you where South African construction companies are building elsewhere in the world. So they can complete airports. The architects from South Africa now busy with massive stadiums outside this country in Europe. They can finish somehow the stadiums there, but not in their own country. And again, I don't understand how that works. So I think, I don't want to deal with, that's why I said, when they came with this plan B, only God can move this World Cup. Because that is a legal position, that the provisions in the organizing association says that it is only natural disaster that can lead to a move of this World Cup. And that was interpreted, reinterpreted. But I think we are happy. It's now water under the bridge. Let's go and talk about the reality. The reality is Plan B is dead. The reality is this year we are going to deliver the Confederations Cup. The reality is on the 4th of December we're in Cape Town for the final draw of the World Cup, that 32 teams will arrive here. You'll then know where the teams will play, the teams that have qualified. And the reality is that we are selling the tickets. On the 20th of February, you can begin to buy your tickets for the World Cup. So the other question of whether or not it will happen, we're selling the tickets. You can only sell a ticket for an event that's real, that's happening. So I think we've gone long past that chair. And so no one is going to take us back to that argument. The fan box. Fan box clearly is an important contribution to a major event, and in this case the World Cup, because the World Cup and its 64 matches can only provide for the number of places you have in a stadium. And we will have a total of just over 3 million tickets. And we already have a population of some 47 million. But that 3 million tickets, we said, is not just for South Africans. It's for the whole world. And South Africans will have to compete. If they want to see Brazil and England, then they will have to compete with the England and the Brazilian supporters who also want to see their team play in the World Cup. And so you then have to say, fine, only 3 million, if we get 1 million South Africans to watch the World Cup, what about the other 46 million? And so the fan parks make a major contribution in that area. In Germany, 3 million fans watched in the World Cup, 21 million fans watch it in fan parks. So in the stadium in Germany, 3 million, in the fan parks in Germany, 21 million. And therefore, the fan parks may constitute a bigger World Cup than in the stadiums. And there are less constraints. And so we also are going to have fan parks in this country. So we want to talk about where are we, what is the status, the venues, what are the commercial rights, and what are the other things that we have to talk about. That is where we are at the moment. We've signed with the host cities the cooperation agreement around the fan parks. We had an inspection of the fan park in September of last year. The financial terms we signed with the cities, one or two outstanding issues with one or two cities that we must conclude. Confirmation of the sites of the cities, I'll show you some of the sites that the cities have earmarked. Then the commercial packages, the sponsors, and so for the official fan parks, and the infrastructure around the fan parks. Those are the venues in the different cities, in Nelspruit, Port Elizabeth. Those are the proposals from the cities. There are some of the sites. I will just walk through some of the sites in Nelspruit, in Port Elizabeth, in Cape Town, in Rustenburg, in Tshwane, in Durban, in Polokwane, in Mangaung, Johannesburg, the second one in Johannesburg. Johannesburg is the only city that will have two fan parks on the basis that they have two venues, Ellis Park and Soccer City. Each of the other host cities will have one fan park, one stadium, one fan park, two stadiums, two fan parks. And that is the position of Johannesburg. That is the infrastructure for the fan park. Of course, the host broadcaster, the SABC, is central in providing the signal into the fan parks. That is the screens and the construction of the big screens in the fan parks. There you'll have the name of the host cities. That will just give you the look and feel of the fan parks. There is another example of the fan parks. That is the fan park and the Confederations Cup. Now, we are not going to have official fan parks for the Confederations Cup. We want all the spectators to fill the stadium. So we are not going to encourage fan parks for the Confederations Cup. However, if cities want to engage in setting up fan parks as a trial basis for the World Cup, then the cities are free to do so. But we are not going to engage in fan parks for the Confederations Cup. That is, now, the second, and this is what you raised, Chair, the public viewing areas. Now, fan parks are those areas where people will gather, and there will only be one in each of the cities. And that is the official fan park. And that fan park will be a fan park, will be branded, as you've seen, with the FIFA commercial partners participating in the fan park. Then you may have a second and a third gathering point that we call the public viewing area. And as far as the public viewing areas in host cities and non-host cities are concerned, that, we said, is not a matter that we are going to get involved. Because you must understand, as an organizing committee, we already have 10 venues, the stadiums. Then we have the IBC, International Broadcast Center, is 11. Then we have the main media center, is 12. Then we have the 10 fan parks, that's 22. And then we have many other headquarters, hotels, and other matters that we have to deal with. So we can never embark also to take as part of our responsibility fan parks in non-host cities. And therefore, we said those are public viewing areas. And if you want to have a public viewing area in Ulundi or Pietermaritzburg or Welkom or any of the others, Kimberley or anywhere else, then that is a matter between the city and the provincial government or national government to deal with that matter. And then, of course, you have to deal with the SABC, because if you don't get the signal into that area, you actually don't have a public viewing area. Because there's also other matters that goes with that. The disaster management, the security, the medical services that you must put in, and many of the other services. Now, clearly, we don't have the capacity to try and put up a public viewing area in each of the non-host cities. So that is what we said. Of course, we encourage people in the rural areas and so on, but we just cannot stretch ourselves to get involved in that aspect. And therefore, we are very clear. There's a public viewing area, which is a government responsibility, and then there are the fan parks that's part of the organizing committee's responsibility. And so those, I think, clear that issue, Chair. So and the last point is whether or not you want to look at whether there's any regulations in terms of these public viewing areas. What is allowed and what is not allowed. And in Germany, they pass legislation to provide the regulations for those public viewing areas. But that is a matter really for government. I'm sure the DTI will talk about this. They may have some thoughts and proposals. But that is not a matter that we will engage, other than to engage the SABC as a host broadcaster, so that they also must have the capacity to deliver the services to all of these groups. And I don't know how many OB vans they have, what capacity there is, because that will also have to be looked at to see to what extent they can service all of the public viewing areas wherever they may arise. And that's why I'm saying in that case, the government needs to know that the critical issue here is the role and the contribution of the SABC. So, in short, Chair, that is what we have to talk about. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Danny. Members, I think you've done the task that last time we have requested you to deal with. The DTI, what are the issues around the public viewing areas? Is there a need for a legislation because all other legislation were done in concurrent with the DTI? The 2010, both of them, the 2010 Special Measures Act. In this instance, before I could give members the time, do you need a dispensation that would need a legislation for you to be able to cities to regulate, or what are your challenges around the public viewing areas, or what is this that you do to enhance the public viewing areas as the DTI? Yes, because I remember there was one guy, Nechitense. Yes, and because you DTI, just like us, your interest is some economic spin-offs for the ordinary people that are going to be participating in the World Cup, participating economically. They are likely not to go to the stadium, but they want to see something that they have to go and buy milk and bread. And those conditions have to be created by you in collaboration with us so that we put enabling conditions for such things. What is your take on those? Chair,
thank you very much. Firstly, I'd just like to say that I support everything that Danny has said in terms of the way forward. And the PVAs, public viewing areas, are an initiative, really, that's been driven by the municipalities, or districts, rather, and the provinces. Then at national government level, we have, since December, put together a task team, which is coordinated by Sports and Recreation and the DTI. And it's really to look into these issues. There was a meeting in January, about 2 weeks ago, of this task team. And it's really to look around how can we make the PVAs a safe and secure event. There are issues of safety and security. There are issues of health and sanitation. There's issue of transport and access. So we have to make sure all the things that Danny has pointed out to, so that we, public safety is critical to this. So at this point, we don't envision any challenges. We are working well within the departments and with the provinces and the municipalities. And we will look at whether we actually need some specific legislation. At this point, it's too early to say. But we don't think it will be anything major, any overhaul that needs to be looked at. What we do need to make sure is that safety and security is attended to. We need to make sure that there are enough broadcast facilities because we're looking at about 47 districts around the country. So it's quite a lot, and we don't know whether SABC will have the capacity to do that. But we do see the PVAs as a commercial opportunity for South Africans to participate in. Or not necessarily to participate in the PVAs, but to be able to experience the games. On the periphery of it, there may be economic opportunities, but we have to be careful that we protect FIFA partners and their rights. So the work of the task team is going well, and we have no serious challenges at this point in time.
Thank you very much, DJ. You remind me of the ambush marketing. When we are protecting the ambush marketing for FIFA, it was members of parliament, you remember, we are, our interest is about our people who vote us there. It was a pain for us to get convinced by Danny around, you have to protect this event from being ambushed. So I think then we have tried to protect the event from the ambush marketers and then all those things. But I can tell you it was a real pain.
to go through that extent.
Members, you can get clarity from Danny. But Danny, one thing that I just want to get from you. What is the situation around the African continent in as far as participating in a form like the public viewing or the fan parks? Because one commitment that you remember when we went to Germany to collect the torch, the former President Becky continuously made that commitment. And time and again, when you go out to these countries, we are asked this question: what is this that you are doing for us to be able to be part of this grand occasion of the 2010 World Cup? What are the things that probably have gone to make sure that this occasion belongs to the African continent, as in some instances you used to say? Before I could give them, can you please? Because Lesotho is about 100 kilometers from Free State in Bloemfontein. And then from Mpumalanga, there's Zimbabwe, there's Swaziland, and all that. Can we get a feel of what is going on there?
No, we are saying the same thing. We are saying that, of course, of the 53 countries, we are looking at the five qualified countries. So let's say Accra, Ghana. Ghana is qualified. So we'll have a public viewing area in Accra, Ghana, in Lagos, Nigeria, in Yaoundé, in Cameroon, and so on. But again, we need to sit down with the SABC, because it is the SABC that provides the feed, and as DTI said, that I think that our ability to deliver to the 47 districts, to the 10 fan parks, to the African continent is determined by the capacity of the SABC. So we need to talk to them. But yes, we've made that commitment. SABC is aware of that. And they said they don't have difficulties because in any case of normal broadcast into these countries. And we are looking at working with them to have fan parks on the African continent.
Yes, honourable members, is the question on the fan parks to the Danny and the public viewing areas clarity to Danny and also the DTR? Yes, Kano.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks very much, Danny, for a good presentation. My question would be not on the hosting cities and the five qualifying African countries on fan parks. It's your South African municipalities, more especially those who are not hosting, and in particular in rural areas, do they have, either as municipalities, have the right to have their own fan parks or public viewing places, or individuals, as it happens when big clubs are playing, you'll find that maybe in a township, in a tavern, there'll be a big screen and it's turned into a viewing place. There are restrictions in that, or what, and if they are not restrictions, what is the process of making sure that they also have their own, more especially those cities that are not hosting? Thanks, Chair.
Before you answer that, Danny, I'll give it to the DTI. Is there any other question on those? Because if there are no any other questions, we will be closing it. But I think you've asked a question that I just wanted to find out from DTI. In the public viewing area, Danny put it very clear that compliance is needed on the fan parks. Whoever is going to participate in the fan parks need to comply to all the set of regulations that are going to be set up by FIFA. On the public viewing areas, in as far as municipality is concerned, what are the set of rules for establishing the fan parks, what is this, and all those other things? I think Ebong is trying to find out. Are the restrictions not taking the gun is not necessary, there will be security clearance like any other place that need to be safety. Apart from those, is there any other thing except the beer that Danny is protecting for the FIFA? What do you call that beer, with Danny? Budweiser. Yes. Apart from Budweiser, in your public viewing areas, can you respond to that question? Yes, DJ.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Member. In fact, there are some guidelines. The PVAs, there are two kinds of public viewing areas. One is the non-commercial public viewing area, and that is the one that we are supporting with the municipalities and the provinces. Incidentally, you know, a decision was taken that we should have at least one in each district, and there are 47 districts. So pretty much there'll be broad coverage. But nothing precludes a municipality from raising it through the structures to request one. Now, the non-commercial public viewing areas will be ones where people are not charged admission. However, the requirements will be in the sense of, as any event in South Africa, any public gathering, the organizers, which in this case will be the municipality in the province, will have to ensure safety, security, health, and other standards. But there can be no commercial partners to that. No company can pass off an association with the FIFA event. So that is prevented. However, that does not mean that people cannot have economic activity by virtue of food stalls, drinks available, and things like that to be sold. But they cannot pass off any association with the main event. The second kind is a commercial public viewing.
Can you clarify that the pass off of the,
yes.
The event? What is that?
That means they cannot put out any sort of signage or advertising that would give the impression to an average person that that company or organization was in some way associated with the FIFA World Cup event. Okay, they cannot try to get mileage on the back of the FIFA event. Secondly, you have the commercial public viewing areas. Also, non-commercial are also the pubs. The pubs and shebeens and others that have a TV in it, but they cannot charge for admission. They cannot do any promotions in their pub for any brand that is not a FIFA partner. So, and then the commercial public viewing areas is where people would charge admission, things like that. Now, we'd be looking at a policy of probably banning that type of activity, because any commercial benefit arising out of the event must accrue to FIFA and FIFA partners. So we would not support the idea of non-FIFA partners setting up a commercial event. So those are some of the restrictions that we will bring in. I trust that answers your question.
DTI, in the run-up to finalization of the whole aspect of the World Cup, the assurance was given of the 30% of the set aside for the SMMEs. What is this that you are expecting from the SMMEs to do in order for them to be able to get a share on the 30%? Because we were saying, Danny agreed with us, we were saying, you cannot at 100% have to maximize the income for the organizers of the occasion. Then we were given a comfort that there is 30% that definitely where the SMMEs are going to participate. The 30% that you're talking about, how those SMMEs are going to participate, and then in which way that they're going to participate. And then I don't want you to tell me the exact amount, what does that 30% amount to. Just want to say the form of participation, how are they going to participate in that 30% as SMMEs? Oh, Mam Kinsman, Kulanga Azuka Makos, Manga Kolap, and Bajela Niti, when I increase the Akhilko Mam Kins. So, Kulanga Azuka Mam Kins, Labako SMME Kulamanj. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. You will recall that in the granting of protected event status to FIFA for this event, one of the conditions under which the minister can do such a thing is if it is in the public interest. And we had deemed that participation by South African SMMEs would be an important factor that we wanted to see in this, and it would be in the public interest to grant it. So in negotiations, the LOC had agreed that 30% of their budget spend would be allocated to SMMEs. Now, that work has been, it's still in the process of being fully quantified because it's an ongoing process. And we have had reports from the LOC on how they are spending that money and who they're spending it with. And there are a number of areas, and I'm sure Danny can elaborate, where they are supporting SMEs, travel agents, transport, security, small companies, catering. These kind of contracts have been given out. However, we then took the lead from the LOC, and it was also suggested that government departments in their spend should also support SMEs. So we would see that beyond the 30% from the LOC alone, that government departments would also use their 2010 spend to empower SMEs. To that end, we have conducted a number of roadshows in partnership with the LOC. We did a number of roadshows last year to host cities, and we plan to do that again this year and in 2010. So we keep reminding people because new opportunities keep coming up. As one gets closer, one needs to procure newer things and things that you require at that moment. So we have a schedule of roadshows that we will conduct in conjunction with the LOC. We have prepared a set of guidelines for SMMEs on what they can and what they cannot do in terms of FIFA's rights, and we are in the process of cataloging all the opportunities that are available from each host city. We will put it up on the website, but we will also be doing the roadshows to take it out to people because not everybody has access to the internet. We will even look at publishing this in newspapers so that it can spread to as wide a base as possible. We are also encouraging that SMME opportunities should be given to those companies that are located in those host cities. It shouldn't be that companies from Gauteng are supplying services to, in Polokwane, for example. So this is an ongoing process. We have had a number of roadshows. And then CEDA, the Small Enterprise Development Agency of the DTI, does follow-ups and helps to actually work with the entrepreneurs in how to realize the opportunities. So there is a process that we are currently working on, and we have regular engagement with the LOC on their progress.
DTI, a simple question. Your engagement with the LOC, is it in the best interest of our people, or it is in the best interest of the FIFA occasion? I just want to know.
No, it is definitely in the best interest of South Africans.
The request that I'm going to put to you, DTI, there are things that I can see members, because I've spoken to them, about they must hold their horses. There are many things that we have to clarify on this matter. Let me give you one example that was an argument. It's SMME called Connex or Rennie's Travel. That is not an SMME. In our view, it's not an SMME. But you will find a bulk of what you're calling traveling and all those other things still centering around Connex and Rennie's and all those other things. We want to know in a, you know, I want, when I stand up as Butana Compel, ambushed by anybody on question, I must be able to stand up and say, no. There is a little Makosi travel agency in a house, in a home, which is just put on the website, and she has become big today because of that 50% set aside for delivering empowerment of our own people. There's a lot of periphery that you people, not you, I'm not doing, you must not say I'm telling you. You see, people that are making a submission and give us these things, you're making a periphery of this is what we give and all that. But when you go to the details of that, you find it has really not been on the hit on where the target should be. The aim is that, but the target becomes a different thing. And the clustering and the all other things that is nice around the SMME. Our view on the SMME might not be the same as your view in the SMME. And therefore, we need to have that understanding around the SMME. If one goes to Avis, in the whole traveling of Denny throughout the country, consistently become Avis budget imperial and all that, that is not the SMME. In my view, that is not the SMME. Therefore, we need to discuss what is that. The SMME would be when Corey has his own Mercedes-Benz and the other Tesla car, and then he puts there, and then his car, both of them or one, is the one that at least frequently in you to take people around and all that. That is what we call the 30% delivery performance. I'm talking about that at my position here where I'm seated, and in what I'm getting from people. But our own way of looking at this SMND becomes a different matter. So that is why I would want to request that immediately after April, after the election, let's have a time. This committee's got a time. We start in the morning and end up at 9 o'clock at night. But definitely we must go out here and say, this 30%, all these lists that you are giving to us, these are not SMEs. And we feel that 30% was for SMEs, and therefore let us make around 10. SMEs is this in our own definition, in our own view, so that at least we can be able to say no. And we know it. I think you understand that. The SME would mean your two cars, one of them, being able to, from time to time, taking people, not every day, but at least it becomes, but it cannot be heads and all these other things, and then you call that SMME, and they bring me there and put me as a token for others, and then you call it, no, it's BEE compliant. That is not what we are saying as the BEE. All of us as these people, we have a different view on that matter at DTI. Do you want to comment on that? But I'm pleading to you that I think we must have a tie, because this 30%, it's got good intention, Denny, but its outcome is not good. Its intention is good, its outcome is not good. And therefore, let us make intention good and the outcome must be good, so that you and I, people must say, can you bring another World Cup again? They must not say, oh, let it go. We don't want it. It must never come. Yes, yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I agree that we should have a detailed engagement on this matter of defining companies and defining the status of what is an SME. And we would welcome the opportunity at your invitation to take this discussion up. The agreement was that LOC would spend it on SMMEs. Now, I can understand fully when one thinks that perhaps a Rennies or a Connex is not considered an SMME. However, the model for those businesses is that they operate on a franchise model. So the franchisee that is supplying the particular service may very well be an SMME because they're not corporate owned. They're individual persons who might have, you know, taken some money and invested and bought a franchise model. That wouldn't apply to the car companies, though. They don't work on that model. So we will look through it and make sure. But we have ongoing discussions with the LOC, and you know, we cannot look into the detail of it right now, but we will take your point and scrutinize the companies. We definitely have also got a program to work with the informal sector. For example, it's the informal sector in traditional South African football matches that supply the refreshments on the way just before the stadiums. Those people must still be able to ply their wares, and we will accommodate them. There's an exclusion zone that FIFA has set up around the stadiums, but just outside of that exclusion zone, these people can set up their wares, and we will provide the infrastructure for them to do it in a safe, sanitary, healthy environment. But certainly we will take up this opportunity, and we can report back after having detailed discussions on the actual uptake, on what is the makeup of the companies that have benefited so far. And if we need to fix the trajectory, we can do it because we still have time.
Denny?
No, I totally agree with the position of DTI. Look, I think we're all on the same side on this. We don't disagree with you, and we agree that that engagement, I wish you the very best, and see you after April. That after April, we then...
Jenny, please, don't make me uncomfortable. Well, I'm already uncomfortable. Don't make me uncomfortable. I'm already uncomfortable. Are you saying this is my last time seated here? Please, I don't want you to say that. Please, can you withdraw that honourable member? Please.
I humbly withdraw. No,
it's Parliament agenda. Okay, you can go on.
That's not a protest in your presence. Oh. Now, I think this is an important issue, and we did submit the report to DTI. In fact, we have an internal auditor, and her role is to look at these things. And I think the issue is that beyond just the report, we actually have to interrogate the extent to which this compliance, because we are serious about this matter, and whatever counsel and advice arises out of that engagement, we'll take very, very seriously. And of course, we'd also like to discuss with you, because there are also constraints. I cannot always take your car rental company, because sometimes I go to strange places where there's not only Avis and nothing else. So there are these constraints. But I think we'd like to engage you as soon as you reconvene after the election to pay serious attention, because most of the spend will occur now leading up to the Confederations Cup and after the Confederations Cup leading to the World Cup. So a significant slice of our budget is still to be spent. So it's not a lost cause, but it's better that we deal with the issue earlier rather than later.
Thank you very much. You see, DTI, Denny, helped me when I was flooded with questions that everybody wants to go to the stadium. Everybody wants to go to the stadium. You have just repeated that, you too, DTI. 47 million of these people of this country. We can take all 10 stadiums together. 47 million, giving them free tickets. 47 million of people will never get into all 10 stadiums. The issue is not the number of people that are there. The issue is those little that we can be able to assist. I think it's going to make us to have a little bit of a break. The issue of the price of the tickets to the stadium was one of the arguments, but finally it was discussed. It is not about the price of the stadium tickets. It's about the number of people that will be able to access the stadium. Danny was making an offer and saying, I can give each one a ticket, 47 million. You're not all of you been able to get to the stadium. And then we're sitting with the very same problem of the wish of everybody to be in the stadium, but the capacity says something different from what our wish is all about. Everybody in South Africa wished to get something out of this 2010 World Cup. All of us have agreed, but we're saying it will not be impossible. But where some of the things you and I, DTI, you don't have to be friends to Danny Jordan. You have to be friends to us. You and I must go to Danny and challenge him, and then ask our comrade. Danny must be that side, and then he must be the side and say, hey, these are the things that we need you to do, and then so that you must assist us on those things. So that the little that we have given, at least we must be proud out of those. And these things that I'm raising are pertinent things, but they are reality that people are talking about outside there. And we must talk about those things. And then, so that when we speak on the air and anywhere on the newspapers, we must be able to point to some of the people that are unknown, but today have become now players in the whole game. I think there's tea outside there. We can quickly adjourn because the German people have already arrived. All of us, no, they're coming. I've just got yes.
let's have tea so that at least we have tea. When we come in now with them, we come in with them and then we can go on. Jenny, don't go in. You must not go. Up until the people. You can have a tea, but you don't go away. Thank you very much.